Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Put your knee on his neck. Put your knee on his neck, sir. Now this is a demonstration of what you've seen. A police officer sitting comfortably, not willing to get off this man, not asking him when he says, "Sir, say you can't breathe."
I can't breathe.
Say you can't breathe.
I can't breathe.
Say you can't breathe.
I can't breathe.
Come on now. And bystanders are watching this. While this is being an example of America, I want y'all to see this from your own eyes. If your own kind was on the ground, he's not even on his neck because he's being generous. But the police officer wasn't being generous.
What you were listening to was a reenactment, really, of the killing of George Floyd. Conducting that powerful demonstration was community organizer Tommy McBrayer. Tommy runs an organization called Central Neighborhood Minneapolis. He was this morning, as he is every day, at 38th and Central, offering demonstration, offering guidance, offering healing, offering words of wisdom, and moving us forward in the wake of George Floyd's death. He is joining me now at the CenterPoint Energy Home Service Plus hotline. Tommy, thank you so much for joining me.
No, thank you for having me.
I got to meet Tommy this morning because the kids and I went to this demonstration. And Tommy, I got to tell you, we were just so moved by your words and your chanting and actually seeing that in person. It assaulted every single one of our senses. And I imagine that that's the goal, right? To show people what really happened.
Yes, yes. The goal is just to put somebody, switch up your, how you look at things. You know, it's easy to see a black man down there on the ground, but just try to put one of your own kind down there and see how you vision things, you know, because it was wrong. So I definitely wanted to put it in people's different perspectives so they can see it, not just tell them, but actually see it.
Tommy, you've run the Central Neighborhood Minneapolis as a community organizer for years and years and years. Tell us about your organization and your neighborhood.
Yeah, well, I am a community organizer for Can Do, that Central Area Neighborhood Development Organization. I have been the community organizer for a year and a half now, and authentically, I've been in the, been active in the neighborhood for 10 plus years now. That's why when the job opportunity opened for me to be a community organizer for the neighborhood, I was the first one for the job. The historical feel for African Americans in this neighborhood became historical when Central Neighborhood is a representation of African Americans in Minnesota. Central Neighborhood was the first place where African Americans can own homes and own businesses and things like that. So, with George Floyd's death, it really sparked a rage in our black community that we need to stick up and we need to stand up for this wrongdoing versus cop.
And Tommy, I know that Terrence Floyd joined your group a little bit later in the afternoon, and I have Terrence Floyd's full speech, which I'll be playing later in the show. So what was that like when he came on the scene? Describe that energy for us.
Man, it was uplifting. It was good to see, just to see the whole walk, you know, like seeing a brother walk to go see his brother's fate, like be in that same area of his brother passing from a police officer brutality. Seeing him walk there, you know, he was looking at the scene and he was so moved by it that his knees buckled. He almost fainted by coming up to the scene. That's why it's such a trauma. You know, that's why we're trying to keep that area peaceful and keep the positive energy, because people are mourning in different ways. And to see Terrence Floyd's brother talk up there with so much passion by saying peace in one hand, justice in another, was just what we needed to hear, you know. And I think Terrence for coming and showing the neighborhood love and showing his respect for his brother, and just showing that Minnesota we got his back. He felt like he was right at home with the love and support for his brother. So it was tremendous.
What are the future plans for that area? Because as I looked around today, you know, it's blocked off, and it is, if you haven't been down there, I really urge all of the listeners to please go. The memorial is so beautiful. There are flowers and signs and readings and names and people giving out free food and free supplies. And there's music and there's prayer together. And it is such an emotional and really a beautiful place now to honor George's memory. What are you hoping? Are you hoping to keep it like that for a while? And how long can people go and visit the way it is now?
We're as we got the murals going on around the neighborhood, but we're gonna embrace George's name as long as we need to. As long as we have a voice, we're gonna scream his name. This historical landscape on 30th Chicago will be for George now. So we want our listeners to come, like you said, come and just see it. You know, don't just hop on all these news channels and see that the bad part about it. This historical memorial has been up for the last 7 days. There has been no violence. There has been no looting around. There has been no fires around. It's been such a positive impact that the neighbors are coming together to give out free food. They're barbecuing, and that's free. They got every supply that you need for your household, for any child from newborn to 25 years old. They got products for the whole family. So come out here, embrace it. Come out and donate to the locals, ones that's giving out free food. It's a historical thing that if you're from Minnesota, you want to be a part of. You want to be a part of this. You know, you want to be the one that said I stood up for something, and I just didn't watch it off TV.
That is such a beautiful message. I really appreciate that. And Tommy, if you're just tuning in, I'm speaking with Tommy McBrayer, a community organizer for Central Neighborhood Minneapolis. Tommy, is there any other message that you would like to give Minnesotans? Anything else you'd like to say here on the show today?
And I just wanted to give a round of applause for Minnesota, you know, because we've been standing up for what's wrong. I feel like, you know, this is just the first step. But everybody keeps asking me, Tommy, where do we go from here? I said, we got to change the Constitution. There's nothing, you know, that Constitution was wrote 50, 60, 70 years ago, you know, when black people didn't have a place on this earth, didn't have a place in America, didn't have power, didn't have businesses. We have to switch that up now. And I think that until we change that, nothing's going to change. These protests are going to still be going on. So I just hope that by me doing that demonstration, that has opened the eyes of our allies to show that it's not fair and we need justice, you know, and that's all. I just want people to open up their eyes, open up their hearts. You know, wrong is wrong, right is right. And in this predicament, he was very wrong.
Tommy McBrayer, please support the Central Neighborhood of Minneapolis organization. You can find them on Facebook and on Instagram at Central Neighborhood MPLS. And Tommy, I posted that entire demonstration that you did on my Instagram at Jordana Verde. I tagged you guys, so please feel free to share it, because everybody should witness what you did for us this morning. And thank you again. Yeah, and we're going to be in touch, okay? I hope you'll come back on the show.
Definitely, man. Have me anytime. I feel like this partnership can go somewhere. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Thank you, Tommy. Thank you. I tell you, folks, and the kids, we have been emotional all day. So if I break down multiple times on the show, you'll know why. Because we dropped off some food up in North Minneapolis, and I said to the girls, let's go. I want to be there. I want to see it. And it was so beautiful. It was so beautiful just to be there and to feel it and to feel, you could feel love and you could feel support. You could feel unity. And I was just, I'm just awed and amazed. And like he said, I'm proud of Minnesota. I am not proud of what happened a week ago there today, of course, but I'm proud of the people coming together, and it gave me hope that real change can happen. Joining us next to help improve that hope, to help make sure it is implemented, is Hennepin County Sheriff Dave Hutchinson, next on CCO. Welcome back, Jordana Green. Thank you for spending some time with me, David Josephson, at the helm. We're going to wrap up the weekend. We will talk about what has been happening today. We will share your emotions. We will open the phones. We will talk. We will talk. We will grieve together. We will do all of those things and try to make some sense of how we can move forward together. Joining me now is Hennepin County Sheriff Dave Hutchinson on the CenterPoint Energy Home Service Plus Hotline. Sheriff Hutch, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much for having me on again.
Well, just give us a roundup. Give us an update of how the Sheriff's Department has been working in conjunction with other law enforcement for this past week.
Absolutely. So early on, Minneapolis was kind of doing their own thing. The governor and the commissioner of public safety brought a unified command together. So it's Minneapolis, St. Paul, all metro counties, and even some outstate counties. And other local police departments. And that's why you've seen some more success last night at kind of quelling the violence. And, but again, it's all, you know, we got to go back to the, you know, justice for Georgia. This is a sad event for everybody, and including law enforcement across the state and country. It's tough to watch. So, we got to get back there. We got to get, you know, things under control so we can start the grieving process Justice for George, and it's been a long week for everybody, but we're the unified command is working better. We're starting things for the future. I think now is the time to stop the violence, to get under control, and then we can start working on how to improve public safety not only here but across the country.
Sheriff, as a leader in law enforcement, how does this change the conversation or the training with your own officers? What will be different now?
A ton. I think, we've talked about it for several years with some issues. You know, my agency has done a lot with different use of force tactics, trying to better them, bias in policing, how to address that, police accountability, diversity among the ranks, transparency. And we've done a lot of that in the Hennepin County Sheriff's Office and a lot of agencies across the nation have. But now is the time. Policing has to make significant advancements. We need to sit down together as a community and fight this. We know it's tough right now, but it can't be us versus them. It has to be each community, communities of color, different diverse people, people from all different backgrounds. We have to sit down. We have to figure this out. We have to make sure we serve our community better, regardless of your color, creed, sexual orientation, all that stuff. We have to do a better job of dealing with communities of color and have a better open relationship with everybody in our community.
And that all sounds great. And that's absolutely the place we want to go. But are there actionable items in place? Like, has the Sheriff's Department sat down and said, okay, this is what we're going to do to put more people of color on the force? This is what we're going to do when you arrest somebody, you're going to have this kind of verbiage with them, or, any kind of new physical training. I'm sure that the knee in the neck was not part of your training, as the police department of Minneapolis said it was also an unsanctioned tactic for them. But do you have a list of actionable items that you are taking? And is that list, if not yet, is that list in the works?
We've been doing it. We've been doing it the year and a half I've been here, and well before, and my predecessor. We've increased our diversity since I've been here last year and a half by a lot. I don't have the exact numbers. Diversity in the ranks is one thing, but also you need to have diversity in your administration, and I've done that. And it's important for young deputies of color and different sexual orientations, et cetera, to see not only their cops and deputies look like them, but when you look up top and you see the chief deputy or major or this or that, on top is they give young people of color, et cetera, hope to advance their career. That's what we also have to do, because we have to have different mindsets and different leadership skills. We can't all think alike. We can't all look alike. We have to have different aspects if we're going to change this. And we've been working on it. We have a lot more work to do, and so do nations across our departments across our great nation. We need to fix this problem, and we're going to have to do it aggressively. We're going to have to figure out, and we're going to have to make sure we get community involvement. We're going to have to make sure politicians know that, you know, some things we have to do as police and sheriffs, but also we have to come up with plans to get the community more involved to change it.
Sheriff, if you were in charge of the state, or at least the city of Minneapolis, how would you have done things differently that second or third night?
You know, I think the problem is they didn't have the resources. So I think I would have had more resources come sooner. But again, you know, hindsight's 20/20. But I believe that they did the best they could with the staff they had. But I think that resources should have been coming from across the state a little sooner. But again, that's why we have this coordinated effort now. You know, we can't go back in time. We can't change things. Now we got to come together and change things for the future. We got to make sure we're treating people better. We got to make sure we're better trained. We got to make sure we have adequate staff. And we got to make sure the community gets our trust back. And that's the number one thing. It's going to be very, very hard. But I'm not going to rest as a sheriff in the county or as a leader in the state or in the nation until we do things, actual things, to get people's trust back. And I don't know all the answers to that, but I'm willing to work my tail off to figure that out. And I'm willing to get some criticism from people, et cetera. But we need to address this. We need to do better policing throughout our country. And I hope that the community comes together and educates not only sheriff's office, different police departments. And I'm willing to listen and learn, because we have to make these changes now.
Last question. I'm speaking with Sheriff Dave Hutchinson, Hennepin County Sheriff. Tonight, will your resources be out? And we know curfew has been dialed back to 10 p.m. Is that a good thing for tonight? Is it necessary, or should it be at 8 p.m. again?
Yeah, I didn't make those decisions, but I think we're trying to scale back to 10 because people need to live their lives. I mean, we've been living this the COVID thing before this tragedy happened, and I think, you know, it's in the right direction. We have to, again, continue to work together to get things back to somewhat normal, and I think it's better than 8 o'clock. I think there's people need to get along with their life, and I think with the curfew, we'll be able to help keep safety on the streets, but also let the peaceful protesters have their chance to express themselves as well.
Hennepin County Sheriff Dave Hutchinson, thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate your candor, your honesty, and your transparency, sir.
Thank you, ma'am.
You got it. When we get back, we'll speak with Mike Bryant. Well, what does he think about Attorney General Ellison taking over the case? And what does he think about Bob Kroll's comments? Mike Bryant next on CCO. We haven't done our meditative moment in the past few days because we haven't felt very meditative. And I understand that's counterproductive, because that's when you need it most. So today, instead of a breathing exercise, I'm asking you to just have a few seconds of a silent prayer. Whether you pray for our state, for our country, for our health, for our security, for our safety, for George Floyd, for people of color that are suffering, for communities that have been damaged, you choose. You choose. Take a deep breath in, deep breath out. I just want you to hold somebody or something in your mind and say a silent prayer just for about 20 seconds. Here we go. Breathe in. Hold your thought. Prayer is never wasted, and I thank you for yours. We can all use some extra prayers these days. Shifting gears now, let's talk to Mike Bryant. Mike Bryant is a personal injury attorney at Bradshaw and Bryant, seeking justice for the injured, and he's joining us again on the CenterPoint Energy Home Service Plus hotline. Mike, I feel like we check in with you every day.
Yeah, it seems like that. Thank you for that moment before that, though.
Oh, we need to pray. We need to be still. We need to... Ooh, just, you know, kind of have a moment to just understand all of it, which is almost not understandable. Thank you for that, Mike. So let's talk about this development before we get to Bob Kroll, who is the police union leader. Attorney General Keith Ellison is now taking over the case instead of Mike Freeman, the county attorney. Is this unusual? Why was it done? And is it a good plan?
Well, it's unusual. I mean, the county attorney, well, it's sort of unusual. It's not, across the state, county attorneys will ask for help from the attorney general's office in murder cases or in certain cases because they want that extra expertise. So it happens. For the Hennepin County attorney to do it, that's different. But I think it made sense. And the big thing is giving a sense of security, or if it's not security, at least some more faith in the system from a lot of people who don't have any faith in the system at all.
Yeah, Mike Bryant doesn't have the best reputation with communities of color and prosecuting police officers. So maybe they feel their chances are better at justice with Attorney General Ellison.
Well, you know, it's interesting because, you know, Mike Freeman, that was the office that convicted Noor. And it's one of the few convictions in the whole country. But in the end, people weren't happy. People were concerned, and they asked for this. And the Hennepin County attorney asked for it, too. And so now we have the Attorney General Ellison involved, and it makes a difference. And I don't know how much you've reported, but the new autopsy from the family is out too. And they just did a press conference a very short time ago, so I don't know if that's been discussed a lot. But, I mean, that's another step where people are concerned about what they heard the first time versus now what they're hearing with the family's autopsy.
And for those of you that didn't hear it in the news, the autopsy report from George Floyd's family is that he died of asphyxiation. The knee on
correct.
The neck, the cutting off of the air, it was asphyxiation, which is different than what the original police autopsy was. Correct, Mike?
Correct. The preliminary autopsy that was done said that it wasn't. And, you know, a lot of people who watch the video are like, how could it not be? And it's led to all sorts of speculation on other issues that I've seen. But yeah, and if nothing else, it starts off with the question people have had that have asked for this change, that have asked for more charges, that have asked for, you know, more aggressive behavior by the prosecutor. And it just supports that by having a different opinion from this new autopsy.
Mm-hmm. Looks like a lot of things are being revealed. We're seeing a lot more transparency in the process this time. And I, for one, look at that and think, okay, well, that's change. That's different because that hasn't happened before. So I think once we step back from this and we have, you know, a few weeks, if anything, to kind of look at it from that 10,000 feet and say, okay, this was different. And hopefully people will look at it as positive progress.
I hope so. I mean, that's in the end. You need a system people trust, and if they're not trustful of the system, we got to figure out why they don't have that trust, what we can do to regain that trust, and how we move forward to make it work.
Mike, let's move on to Bob Kroll. Lieutenant Bob Kroll is the head of the Minneapolis Police Union. In his first comments since the killing of George Floyd, he blasted the city's handling of the riots and told the rank and file they were being made scapegoats, meaning the police were being made scapegoats. He wrote a letter, which was then has been shown to the media, and he said this: "No one, with the exception of us, is willing to recognize and acknowledge the extreme bravery you have displayed through this riot." This is a letter to his police officers. He says, "I commend you for the excellent police work you're doing and keeping your coworkers and others safe during what everyone except us refuses to call a riot. You've turned the tide on the largest scale riot that Minneapolis has ever seen." He went on to blast Mayor Fry, and he refused to acknowledge, who he says refuses to acknowledge the work of MPD and continually shift blame to it. Kroll says, "This is despicable behavior. How can our command staff tolerate it and live with themselves? I do not know." The letter surfaced on social media. Janae Harto, former Minneapolis police chief, has called Kroll to resign from his post. R.T. Ryback seconded that as well, and he has been called a cancer on the system. Wow. And yeah. I just want to hear your thoughts about this as a criminal defense attorney, as someone in this business. I don't even know if you know Bob. Have you worked with Bob in the past?
I know who he is. And I've had to deal with them in the past. The important part is that people read the whole letter. That if you talk about the letter, people read the whole letter. And some of it's opinion. Some of it's, you know, it's rallying of of a union leader, a rallying of a leader in a certain way, that there's a section in there that he talks about the criminal record of Floyd, talks about how he wants to get the officers' jobs back, talks about how they were, I'm trying to remember off the top of my head if he actually uses the word railroaded. But there's a paragraph that's in, I believe, the second page that talks directly about this case. And that's the problem, that for people who don't believe the system, that think the system covers things up, that thinks the system is really about things other than providing justice, that paragraph seems to suggest that. And it's one of those that reading the whole letter, it's of great concern. And, you know, I can accept some of it as being whatever a person's doing their job as a union leader. But when you read the whole letter altogether, when you've got at the basis of this a guy who's dead and shouldn't be dead, it's a very hard letter to swallow as being credible.
Do you think Bob Kroll will, A, resign his post, or B, removed from it?
No, he hasn't yet. And it'll be, you know, depend on, you know, who rallies and how they rally. You know, he's got in that letter suggestions about, you know, who he's working with versus not working with, which, you know, that's the confusing part about all this is, you know, when you point fingers and say, you're not working with me, often you're not working with them either. And so, you know, there's two sides to a lot of stuff there. And so, you know, there are a lot of questions came up when they talked to the jury after the Knorr case about what they thought about what was done by him in particular and what was done by the BCA overall. And that just adds to the concern about whether or not people are getting a fair shake and whether or not people are getting justice.
Mike, anything I didn't ask you, any timeline on this, when we could see progress or see the other three charged?
Well, we've got a date finally. I think it's June 8th, if I remember correctly. We got a date coming up where there'll be the first appearance, his first appearance. As to other charges, I mean, the steps that will have to be followed is you can't get accessory on third degree. So if you're going to come up with other charges, then you're going to go to a grand jury. That's going to take time. I got asked the other day about, you know, why can't we just do a Zoom grand jury? And while that seems like, wow, can't we just do it that way? I wouldn't want this case to be the sample case or to be the test case. You want to do everything by the book so that if you're going to go for the conviction, you get a conviction. And so that'll be the tightrope that now Attorney General Ellison has to walk, in that these people are pushing to get things done immediately, and some of it can't be done immediately. And so that'll be the timeline we see. But at least we have a first appearance coming up, and that'll tell us a lot more about what direction this case is going. And we'll also find out who the judge is on the case, which I don't think we know yet.
Okay. Lots of moving parts, and I'm glad we have you to keep us updated on all the legalities and explain it to us. Mike Bryant from Bradshaw & Bryant, thank you again, sir, for the time.
Thank you.
Something beautiful that we have heard during this tragic, tragic series of events. Keaton Bryant. Keaton is a 12-year-old singer-songwriter, and he has created a song, written a song, made a song, that has had millions of views on social media. It's called I Just Wanna Live. It was uploaded on Wednesday in a simple video, and I think it's got like 12 million views. I mean, it's a crazy amount of views. So as we go to break, I want you to hear the song I Just Wanna Live from Keaton Bryant.
I'm a young black man doing all that I can to stay. Oh, but when I look around and I see what's being done to my kind, every day I'm being hunted as prey. My people don't want no trouble. We've had enough, Shango. I just wanna live. God, protect me. I just wanna live. I just wanna live.
You're hearing the voice of Tommy McBrayer. Tommy is a community organizer at Central Neighborhood Minneapolis called The Central. I urge you to follow them on Facebook at Central Minneapolis and Instagram at Central Neighborhood MPLS. He was at the site of George Floyd's killing, 38th and Central, and he did a demonstration of what it was like for George Floyd to be pinned down by three other men. It was very, very powerful. Tommy joined us at the very top of the show for 10 minutes. Please use the radio.com feature to rewind and listen to that interview. He is just a very powerful speaker and organizer, and I was really glad to not only have him on, but to see him. I took the kids to the memorial this morning, and if you have not gone, I urge you to go on 38th and Chicago. You could park a few blocks away. You walk over there. It is a beautiful celebration of George Floyd's life. It is a warm feel. A man died there, so let's not forget that. A horrible tragedy died there. He was killed by a police officer. But when you go there, you feel love, you feel connection, you feel grief, deep sadness, but you also feel that there is hope. People are coming from all walks of life to watch demonstrations, to pray, to grieve together. Folks there in the neighborhood are giving out free food. They're giving out supplies for people whose homes or businesses may have been damaged in the aftermath. And it is just an extraordinary display of humanity. I can't even explain the energy on the radio. The girls and I cried several times this morning just being there and feeling it. And we're so grateful that we had the opportunity to go. The streets are blocked off. There is a huge circle of flowers and posters and gifts. And there's chalk writings all over with victims of police brutalities, names of Martin Luther King quotes. There is music. There is a chalk outline of George Floyd's body. Extraordinarily powerful. And then, of course, there are men and women like Tommy McBrayer, community organizers, that are praying and evangelizing and sharing how we can do better, how we can move forward, and offering messages of hope. So an extraordinary place to be if you are a Minnesotan. I urge you to go to that place. This is a moment in history, hopefully a moment that will change the course of history. Hopefully George Floyd is the last black man to be killed by a police officer. I pray for that. I also hope that that can happen if we listen to each other and learn from each other. At that very spot yesterday is where people have been gathering since a week ago when George Floyd was killed there. Our own Eric Nelson was there and he was collecting interviews. A poignant one was with a gentleman called Minnesota Fats. Minnesota Fats says he grew up in South Minneapolis. Here's his conversation with Eric.
Eric Nelson here at 38th in Chicago, South Minneapolis, just standing a few feet from the George Floyd tragedy. And I'm joined now by Minnesota Fats, who is a Southside guy. This is where your roots are. What's the temperature today here at this very poignant memorial?
Well, the temperature outside is beautiful, but the temperature here, it's lovely. Like, it's really a lovely feeling. You know, even though we're all gathered together for a terrible thing, it's the community is really come together, and we're really trying to show the rest of the world that this is not what we want people to know about our community. We want people to know that we're together, that we love each other. We have all type of programs and all things for the kids. The police have their position and we have ours. The community is together and we love each other. We are not renegades and thugs. We are young African-American people. We have families. We have businesses. We have all types of things. And they came out here and they did a terrible thing. And then they want to make it a reflection of the neighborhood. And that is not true.
What can be done to move this in a positive direction, because the city's exploding?
They have to listen to the youth. They have to stop the lack of equality. They don't listen to their youth. The black vote, the black man, the black woman, none of that counts. Nothing counts here. We're dismissed people. They give us broken education. They pull us over, they beat us up, they make us feel like we're secondhand citizens, then expect us to have the output of a superstar. And we have no, we're not nurtured. We're not cared about. And in order for us to grow, we need to be cared about like the people in Edina, like the people in Prairie or Apple Valley. You know what I'm saying? That I've had the chance to be in a lot of different neighborhoods, a lot of different societies. And the South Side is a beautiful place. But the people that patrol the South Side are not beautiful people. Not all of them. I'm not saying that all the whole police is corrupt. But like I said before, if the Attorney General doesn't like the police commissioner dude, you know there's some type of distance there. So what do you think is trickling down to the streets? If the chief of police had to sue them for discrimination, what do you think they're doing to civilians? Like, it's just plain and simple. It's common sense. So until they come in and show us that they care about us, then we'll isolate ourselves and we'll do things that make you listen. And this is what we're doing to make you listen. This is not our rhetoric. This was not a decision. This was a result.
Jamar Clark, Philando Castile, now Floyd, George Floyd.
Yeah.
Is Minnesota turning into Mississippi?
Minnesota has a lower gap in reading and literacy than Mississippi. How is that? How do we have lower graduation rates than Mississippi? It's a shame. We're 17% of this population. How are we 2.5 times likely to die in a police encounter? How is the sixth leading cause of African American death the police? Come on, man. Minnesota is a place where systematic oppression is accepted, where the hierarchy people, they don't care about the lower levels, and we're just trying to live. So we have fun and we do what we can do within inside of this oppression. But the younger generation is tired, and my generation is tired. The older generation, they can't fight. They can't fight. They just take their medicine and complain. But everybody, the younger generation, we're fighting, sir. And I'm sorry. I'm sorry we're burning down. I'm sorry that we're closing off highways. But I'm also sorry that you're kneeling on our neck and you're shooting us in our heads. And we're telling you, officer, I have a gun and you still decide to shoot me. Like, where does the line cross? So, it's like I said, respect will be given or unforgiven. Because only so long that you can beat something before it dies or fight back. And obviously, we dying. And when we kneeled, it wasn't accepted. So we burned down. Now it's not accepted. So what do? You lay down and kneel and burn down? So, it is what it is. We will, this too shall pass. There should be a change systematically. They should pay more attention to the minorities and the things that we offer the community. All these wonderful things, hip-hop, the whole world is hip-hop. Everything is hip-hop. So why do you treat us like this? Why don't you treat us like the pioneers of the world, like the content kings of the world that we are? You treat us like slaves, and you talk to us like we're not men, and that is combustible.
Minnesota Fats grew up in South Minneapolis with messages for us all. Thank you, Minnesota. And thank you, Eric Nelson, for finding people and giving them the time and the space they need to talk to us, to just share their stories with us and share their experiences. They are powerful. Minnesota is not alone. We learned this week that the protests of George Floyd's death have been global. In Britain, London protesters rallied in Trafalgar Square. In Germany, crowds gathered at Berlin in front of the U.S. embassy declaring Black Lives Matter and justice can't wait. In Denmark, chants of no justice, no peace were heard on the streets of Copenhagen. In Italy, in Milan, crowds held a flash mob near the city's U.S. consulate. That was on Thursday. In New Zealand, protests over Floyd's killing were held in multiple locations. In Canada, several protests were also held over the weekend and crowds rallied against police brutality. Thank you, world. In Poland, residents in Krakow gathered at the U.S. consulate and lit candles to honor George Floyd. In Australia, large groups gathered in Perth's Central Business District to hold a Black Lives Matter rally. Thank you, world. Thank you for hearing us. I hope we in Minnesota can hear them and hear that message. We will be back with the speech that Terrence Floyd made at the site of his brother's killing.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.